This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We're going to learn in the next sort of 20 minutes about something that I can basically just about grasp in my mind as a concept. It's a little bit tricky, but it's tremendous fun. I've come to the Reykjavik City Library, the branch in the heart of downtown, to find out more about the live coding space, which will be here, and the open meetups that are taking place. I've got three guests today, two of them here with me in person. One is in Detroit, joining me on Zoom, and together we're going to piece together exactly what is happening when we talk about live coding. I think a lot of people might struggle with the idea of what coding is, never mind live coding. So let's introduce my guests and see if we can work out exactly what is happening here and why it's a great deal of fun. Introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
I'm Carl. I'm the project manager for the makerspace of all the libraries and one of the people behind the live coding space.
I'm Daur, educator mostly.
And joining us from Detroit.
My name's Jack. I'm a music technology researcher and live coder.
Well, thank you all very much for joining me today as we talk about this live coding space. Now, there was a meeting to kick all this off about a week or so ago here at the library, but I want to just really get into first principles here, because live coding, the creation of art and music by manipulating electronic code in real time, that's a lot to grasp, as I say, maybe for someone who doesn't quite know what coding is. So who wants to start with this to try to work out a way of explaining what it is we're talking about? Who wants to dive in here?
I'm looking at Jack.
Okay, Jack, you go first.
So, yeah, simply put, most people think of code as something that you run, and then if you want to change the code, you would stop it and make a change and then run it again. But with live coding, the idea is that you're able to update the code while it's running. And this means that you can do things like have a piece of code that makes a piece of music that you can listen to. And then when you change that code and update it, the music that you're hearing will also update without any kind of stoppages or gaps. And just through this simple kind of mechanism, people have created a whole arts community where they're making music performances, also doing visual art, controlling robots, and all sorts, really. So it's about putting this real-time element into programming, which is otherwise mostly a sort of offline process.
So the code is the language that the computer speaks, essentially. That's the way it interfaces. That's the way that you communicate with it and tell it what to do. And so you have this code, which is running inside the computer, and it's playing a particular piece of music, or it's generating a particular artistic happening. And you can change the code. You can almost play the code like an instrument, I suppose.
I think, yeah, this sort of process of adjusting and fixing the code in real time to change the way it's executing while it's executing, that's kind of pretty much the performance for me. Is just like constantly tinkering and updating what you're hearing, but everybody can also see what you're doing,
right?
Because it's projected on the screen behind you. So
we're agreed then that playing the code like an instrument is a good way to sort of start thinking about this.
I think yes, definitely, and just seeing where it takes you is like very fun, and like responding to it, because you just maybe throw something in there and the code or computer responds in some way unpredictable. So it becomes maybe some sort of dialogue or some sort of relationship with the instrument or the code.
Now, the next thing that springs to mind is that this sounds very technical. It sounds like something that you would need to have a deep knowledge of to even begin to get a decent result from. Is that the case?
You could generate a pretty complicated piece of music from a single line using the language that I am practicing now is called Strudel. And
Strudel?
Yeah, you could have something that sort of is never the same twice and evolves over the course of a few minutes with just a couple of lines. And you could teach somebody that in one day.
Jack, you are an electronic sound artist in the UK. When you create music, are you working in code or are you working with software?
Yeah, so I started out, like most people, using traditional audio software. And then when I discovered that live coding was possible about 10 years ago, I slowly started to learn how to do that. And now I mostly do live coding. And then sometimes I'm blending that with using, you know, traditional music software for arranging and editing and that kind of thing. But maybe I can give you, just coming back to your previous question, I can give you a simple example of this idea of like complexity and dialogue. So let's say you start a pattern with four kick drums, right? So your code might just say bass drum, bass drum, bass drum, bass drum. And then you run it and you're hearing four kicks. Now, if you then add four more bass drums, you quite reasonably expect you would then hear eight kick drums, right? So you're able to, it's simple enough that you can predict what's going to happen and then you hear it. But if you then start adding some more complex transformation, like calling a function that might adjust that pattern, you don't necessarily know what it's going to sound like. And that is the same if you're someone who's just starting or someone who's been doing it for years like me. And that's actually quite a central part of it, is that you're kind of asking a what if question. What if I add this function or change it in this way? How is it going to sound? And then you're responding to it in the moment, just as the audience is hearing it. We're all hearing it for the first time. And that element of kind of unpredictability is part of the fun, really. And it's about celebrating that process. Whereas, yeah, most people think of code as something like, if you get it wrong, it's going to print a big error and it's embarrassing and confusing and so
crash.
On. So
yeah,
it's not about problem solving. It's really a creative dialogue, as Dagger said.
That is really interesting. So I guess that's the difference then between a musician experimenting by hitting a different key on a musical keyboard and writing or altering a line of code in real time. There are no wrong answers here, I suppose.
Definitely not. And yeah, like Jack said, it's more of the exploration of the what if.
Yeah.
Of adding to the code. And yeah. I guess so. No wrong answers.
We should maybe just pause to think how far we've come here, because I saw a documentary recently about one of the early electronic music studios somewhere in Europe in the 60s or the 70s, where it would literally take a room bigger than the one that we're in now, full of very heavy, very hot machinery, to generate a very short piece of electronic music, and it would take days and days and days. So we compare where we are now to those early days of electronic music, and there is just no comparison, is there, really?
I mean, I think similar advances have been made in how fast you can get a line of code making music. Like, the first time I learned live coding, you had to install this thing called Haskell, this other thing called SuperCollider, this other thing called SuperDirt, and if you had a Mac, then there was all kinds of trouble that would come up, and you have to sort of, like, dodge these operating system errors. And now, when people walk into their first live coding meetup, they could just run something in the browser on whatever computer they happen, even on an iPad or iPhone, and it's going to sound as good as it would with a whole downloaded software suite.
Well, it's crazy that GarageBand can run on an iPhone. That's a music production suite, essentially. I'm sure it won't be long before it runs on an Apple Watch. It's just incredible the progress that's been made. Okay, so as we sit here in the library in Reykjavik, let's talk about what's already happened and what's going to happen. The next open meeting is on the 7th of October, which is on Monday. But on the 23rd of September, this all kicked off. So who wants to tell me about who came and how that event went and what people's expectations were?
So Jack and I came to this first meetup, and this idea kind of came up after Jack taught. It was a course called Living Algorithms. It was like a four or five day course in different languages. And it was mostly just like people in the 20s and 30s that either loved, you know, coding and wanted to do more music, or loved music and wanted to do more coding. And we all kind of bonded over this love of exploration. And when it was over, we were really, there was like this empty hole inside. We wanted to keep hanging out and keep coding, keep learning. And being in a room with other people doing it was like such a great push to keep practicing. After the course was over, I fell out of practice a bit, and I missed that and I wanted to make that again. So Jack suggested that we do a kickoff meeting, which we did last week, and we just ask people who are, you know, seasoned pros or beginners what kind of things they want to learn, what do they know, and see if we can find some ways that people can sort of teach each other. So instead of like a hierarchical workshop where somebody's just dictating what you're going to learn, we find out what people already know and what they want to share and see if that matches interests. And that's what we did last week.
And Jack, how did that go?
Yeah, it was awesome to see all kinds of people coming and attending. And, you know, I think Carl mentions a really important idea that it's not hierarchical. And, you know, there's a live coding community all around the world that's been going for, you know, 20, 25 years by now. And it's really about sharing knowledge and sharing practices and, yeah, just supporting each other to learn and have fun. So I think the event kicked off in the right way. And I hope this is going to help create a scene in Iceland.
Hmm. Is that your hope as well, Lindago? The next meeting is on Monday, as I say, the 7th of October. Do you hope that this is going to build and grow?
Yes, definitely. I would love to see a strong community here, for sure.
So who's invited? Who do you want to come along on Monday?
Just anyone who is interested in either music or art or code, or just wants to come, all fun people, good people.
Yeah, we kind of set like a really open demographic. Anybody over 16 could really probably fit in the room. And what we got was all kinds of people doing computer science, engineering. We got a biologist, we have a data scientist, lots of people doing music fully or partially, and everybody wanted to just explore as many different languages as possible, get a taste of everything that's out there, just like a smorgasbord. That was kind of one of the strong takeaways. There was somebody who wanted to do, like, have a motorized wheelchair control musical sounds through an embedded interface, like some kind of motion detector. We had people that wanted to take Althingi speeches, parliamentary speeches, and do like a karaoke remix of samples. But a lot of people just wanted to explore, just show up and see what's out there.
Jack, is this also a way into coding for people, much more generally, more widely, the idea that computer coding in its widest sense is not something that is going to go away, there's going to be an ever-growing need for it? Is that part of this as well, to not just guide people into the creative aspect of coding, but the wider aspects as well?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. I mean, first of all, in the live coding community, we kind of see what we're doing as part of a long history of algorithmic practices in human culture. You know, so for example, anything to do with textiles, weaving, knitting, that's an inherently algorithmic process, which, as many people know, in many ways contributed to the first designs of mechanical computers through the Jacquard loom and so on. And all across the world, in all kinds of ancient cultures, you can find algorithmic practices. So we don't see what we're doing in a way as being completely new, but we're using the current technology to participate in algorithmic culture. And in terms of, you know, coding in education, it's obviously it's a hot button topic. But in a way, I think there's some really good projects that people could draw inspiration from in our world. For example, Sonic Pi by Sam Aaron is a program that many kids in the UK and in other countries have been using to make music as their first introduction to coding when they're, you know, ages 8 to 12, for example. And then over in the US, there's a program called EarSketch, which is compatible with the AP Computer Science. You know, that's like kind of pre-university level computer science. And you can study the entire AP computer science program just using this coding music tool. So a lot of work has already been done in this area. And it's something that, again, we want to bring to Iceland, to the curriculum, to local clubs. And we actually hosted a panel discussion earlier this year with a professor in music pedagogy from Háskóli Íslands, where we were discussing how we might start this journey. So, and another element that I'll just mention is, you know, there's the language element, and we talked about live coding as kind of like a musical instrument, there are within live coding all these different languages which you can think of as being kind of like different instruments. And of course, the question then is, why don't we go ahead and create an Icelandic live coding language or languages with young people, with people who are getting into coding, and contribute towards the preservation of Icelandic language and the modernization and integration with current technologies?
We saw an example of this in the kickoff. Somebody came with a program that could use Python, and that's a language that is multilingual, and it could read text in any language and break it up correctly by syllable, and then use each syllable to trigger a different sound. And it worked with Icelandic, which is not often something.
No.
He was Italian, so he originally worked with it in that. But people internationally could use this in their own language.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
And Dagur, is there much of a coding scene then already in Iceland? Is this what's happening here at the library? Is it building on something that already exists, would you say?
I feel like it's... it did not exist since the beginning of times, but I think it's already started, yes.
Yes.
And that's really good. So it's really nice to build on that foundation now and hopefully grow bigger and learn more and do more fun things together.
And Dago, you're going to be teaching younger coders, I think, in November next month as well, aren't you?
Yes, we're going to be hosting a workshop in Icelandic for... people ages 13 to 16, learning live coding.
And this might end up as a concert at Ethno?
Yes, if the kids are excited for it.
I'm sure they will be.
Yes, I'm very excited for that.
And here at the library, we should say as well, just around the corner from us is the Maker Space, which we've touched on before in a previous conversation with Valgeir here, who sings songs for the youngsters downstairs every Monday and Thursday in the building where we're sitting. But he also... is responsible for the Maker Space, where there's a variety of different tech that people can get their hands on, book time using, for example, things like Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro, and really get to grips with electronic creativity. So, 7th of October is the next open meeting, another one taking place on the 21st of October, and another on November the 18th. I guess just to conclude, your hopes for this, I mean, by the time that third meeting has taken place, what do you want this to have achieved?
It's hard to say because it's just getting started, but I think the dream is that this community will run itself and that it won't need a library project manager anymore. That they'll have their own chat room, they'll organize people to do the teaching within the community. It'll be just sharing among equals.
I think overall, what live coding gave me is what I want other people to experience, which is just a feeling of agency and confidence over computing, that it's something that anyone can engage with, it's something that anyone can be creative with, and there's no one who can tell you right from wrong in terms of what you do with computing. It's not just something that runs banks and makes apps, it's something that belongs to everyone and everyone should be able to participate in it. So that's what I hope people who come and join us can start to feel for themselves. And then when that happens, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next, but I think it's going to be extremely fun and rewarding.
And the practicalities, what do people need to bring when they come on Monday?
Absolutely nothing but your curiosity. We've got computers ready to go. If you want to install like some heavy programs, you could bring your laptop, or you could just show up empty-handed, open-minded. It's also, we're teaching it in Icelandic and English, so... and we have a pretty even split of Icelanders and expats.
And all ages?
I would say it's around 30, between 30 and 40, like maybe mid-20s to mid-30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that will expand. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Thank you all very much indeed. I was going to say good luck. I don't think you're going to need it based on the success of that kickoff meeting from a couple of weeks ago. But we'll put a link to all of this, the Nuriton Live Coding Space. The next meeting, the open meeting, is on the 7th of October on Monday. Kali and Jack and Dago, thank you all very much indeed.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's Ruv English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.